Chicago, this is your new morning routine. Cap and J-Hood. Follow Cap J-Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app on ESPN 1000. And now on FM at 100.3 HD2. Now, on Chicago's home for sports, David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Reyes shortens up just a tad. The 0-2, line to left, that's trouble, it's down for a hit. Altuve followed by Bregman. Correa to second, he's got a double. He's 2-for-2, both hits on 0-2 pitches, and the Astros have a 2-1 lead. The pitch by Crochet is lined out toward the alleyway in left center. It's going to get to the wall. Maldonado scores. Altuve right behind him. That is a two-run double, and it's 5-1 Astros. Altuve has doubled, been hit by a pitch, singled, popped to short, reached on an error. He's scored three times. Swing and a drive to left for a three-run homer. And it's 10-1. The 0-1 to Hernandez, and a bouncer to second. This will do it. Altuve to Gurriel. And the Houston Astros are headed to the ALCS. They have eliminated the White Sox. 3-1 here in the division series. The final score today, Houston 10, and the White Sox won.
Woo! Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
So that's how it went down. White Sox were not in it yesterday for very long, and they lose to the better team. No question. The Astros, through the four games, prove they are a better baseball team. But hopefully, brighter days are ahead with all these young players maturing, hopefully staying healthier, Jonathan Hood, and locked up long term. They've got some tweaks they got to make, and I think they need to add an ace pitcher. So a lot to unpack there. My friend, your team had a really, really fun season, but fell far short.
Well, for sure, this was a very unusual season for the White Sox in that it was successful, but yet there was a lot of layers to it. There's a lot of pages to this yearbook for the White Sox. Yermin, of course, and Tony La Russa being the manager, and a lot of new faces coming to the Sox. Just when you think you have your roster solidified, there are new faces that were able to come in and try to help this team. It was an interesting regular season because of how often the White Sox were on the IL. Quality players, key players to a run were out. And it just shows you the resolve. I've been using this word a lot, Cap, as you well know. The resolve of the ball club to be able to have 90-plus wins and get to the playoffs is amazing. I'll always remember this team. There's non-playoff teams for the White Sox I'll always remember, like the Torborg 90 team, very solid team. Teams that were on the precipice of getting to the playoffs and didn't make it. But this one will tell you a great story about how you can overcome injuries and still be a good baseball team. And hats off to La Russa, hats off to Rick Hahn and the players for just keeping it together. But ultimately, it comes down to talent, and talent that knows each other well. And the Astros, a veteran team that has been to the playoffs time after time, they knew what to do against the White Sox, and that's bludgeoning them offensively.
Look, there's a reason that team's gone to five consecutive ALCSs. They absolutely are wonderfully talented. Now, they're going to take a step back next year if they don't get Correa re-signed, and it does not sound like they are going to find common ground. He talked to my friend Gordon Whitmire and said, no. They tried. It didn't work out. And so we'll see where he ends up. Could he be a Cub? Could he be a Tiger? But I look at that White Sox team, Abreu back. Got to figure out second base. I'm not sure Cesar Hernandez or Leury Garcia are the starter on a World Series team. Mm-hmm. Your shortstop's a stud. Your third baseman's really good. Your left fielder's really good. Your center fielder's really good. Got to figure out right field. And you've got to add another ace pitcher because Rodon's not going to be back you've got to add Robbie Ray or Marcus Stroman or whoever this year's version of Blake Snell or Yu Darvish, whatever big name gets traded, and then hope for better success.
Well, I don't want to confuse activity with accomplishment when it comes to Rick Hahn. The thing that I liked is that the Sox were all in, trying to get the best ball club possible to have a playoff push. Mm-hmm. I will say this, though. There's positives that I could just point out as far as resolve and watching the baseball team hit, and well, you got unsung heroes coming through for the regular season. But we have to mention something that is troublesome to me, and that's the starting rotation, right? There were some that were trying to compare this starting rotation to 05, and I laughed at that. And it's just like, you know, that's the best pitching I've ever seen as a White Sox fan. So yeah, 05 is a real big hill to climb if you want to get to that type of rotation. But as I told you in this series, Cap, the idea that you have Lucas Giolito and you have Dylan Cease and Lance Lynn and Carlos Rodon, and you have these four starters that combine for 12 and a third innings and an ERA of 10.22. They walked 12, gave up 14 hits, and struck out 13. And along with Dallas Keuchel, which is something that has not worked out for this team. So we could talk about the positives with this White Sox team and get to the playoffs, but ultimately it's about October. If you can't get it done in October, then what's the point of April through September, right? It gets you there, but when it counts, when the spotlight is at its brightest, those guys failed.
They did.
Period.
No question.
So that's what pisses me off this morning is that, and we've talked about this before, like, hey, man, can you give me five innings? Why does it have to be two and a third? Why is it two and two-thirds?
Correct me if I'm wrong. You did not get five out of any of the four starters.
No. So the Keuchel experiment, as we knew last year, was a bust.
Mm-hmm.
So you have, and again, I appreciate what Lance Lynn has brought to the table in the regular season, but where were you in the playoffs? Where was Giolito in the playoffs? Right? How about this? I was tongue-in-cheek talking to you before the trade deadline, and you said, Hoodie, what if the White Sox got Craig Kimbrell? And I said, where are you going to play him? You know, I mean, he's a closer. Where are you going to play him? Because I believe that much in Liam Hendricks.
Mm-hmm.
Can I tell you something? The Kimbrell experiment also sucked.
It did?
You know why? Because he's not an eighth inning guy. He's a closer. So you take that fish out of water and say, you know what? We're going to build the Nasty Boys. We're going to have Kopech and we're going to have a situation where you get it right to Hendricks and have Kimbrell in the middle in the eighth. That didn't work. ERA over five, and he struggled in that spot. All you need is three outs or maybe two-thirds of an inning or a third of an inning, and Kimbrell could not get the job done. So that didn't work either. So, again, I appreciate the effort of Rick Hahn, but the players let down. Yeah, Kimbrell is always a closer. Okay, great. But you thought maybe he can give you three outs. It didn't happen on a regular basis. He struggled in that spot.
He did. No question about it. And if you could go back to the trade deadline, you would say, I'll take Madrigal back. I have a hole at second base, right?
Well, I like to take care of the pitching.
That's where it starts for me. Disappointing. Look, McCullers is a really good pitcher. Valdez is a good pitcher. They got good enough starting pitching for the most part, the Astros.
Yeah.
The White Sox need to go add an ace. They have the payroll ability to do so. And I think they have an attractive enough situation that pitchers would say, I'll go play there. Absolutely. With that team behind me?
Sure.
Absolutely. But
now you keep Madrigal on the north side. That's fine. I mean, you have to make deals to be able to try to try to get your ball club better. So I get it. I understand that.
Give them credit. Yeah, tip your cap, Rick Hahn.
But ultimately, some of the experiments failed. So, no, you're going to need a second baseman, but what's more important is getting an ace starting pitcher.
Agreed.
And also trying to figure out what you want to do in the back end of that bullpen. And I'll say this for the guys that came through a lot in the regular season. The Andersons, the Moncadas, the Roberts, the Abreus, the Aloys, they didn't have a double or a triple or a home run in this series. They had six extra base hits and none in the first two games against Houston.
Six for the series.
Six extra base hits and none in the first two games.
And you had Sheets had two of them yesterday. He had a double and a home run.
Yes.
Yeah, the big, whether it was Giolito, whether it was Lynn, whether it was just the guys you mentioned right now, nobody stepped up. They didn't get the job done. So I ask you this question as a White Sox fan. Was that season a success?
No. And you know why I say that is because Rick Hahn would say that.
Correct. He said, if we don't make the World Series, we fell short then.
Right. So my opinion is Rick Hahn's opinion, which is Jerry Reinsdorf's opinion, which is Tony La Russa's opinion. You fell short. You're the same. You may not be the same team as you were last year, but you had the same results from last year. You got bounced out in the first round. I can enjoy the regular season the way it was, Cap, but again, the spotlight was on you in the postseason, and you didn't get it done. That's disappointing. And I'll say this. I'm patient enough to wait on the offense, right? Those guys I just mentioned, the Moncadas, the Roberts, the Abreus, the Andersons, Aloys, it'll come through. Young ball club, offensively, they'll come through. But I'm more concerned about the pitching, right? Because what you have here is a ball club that can slug their way through wins and win games 9-2. Can you win the close game on a regular basis when it counts? Do you have a lineup that's dangerous 1-9? You do not. You do not. It's top heavy, and you have some guys, some fleas on the bottom that have come through from time to time. But no, that sucked to see the White Sox not even taking another step. And what did I tell you in March? I said, Cap, it doesn't feel like a World Series team to me. It didn't feel like the charm season for the Cubs in 16, where you were, boy, everything's working. Look at that. Out of nowhere, I didn't see that. I saw a team slug their way to the playoffs. I saw a team that had good enough pitching to be able to get to the postseason. But I never said World Series to you. And that's because you feel it when you're a fan. You know it when you see it. I told Sylvie in 16, in May of 16, I go, you know your team's going to the World Series. He goes, no way. I go, yeah, you guys are having a charm season. I see something here. It was around Memorial Day. I go, you guys are going to be the Golden State Warriors of Major League Baseball. I said, because you guys are relentless. No way. I go, you're going. And you guys want it. Because you know it when you see it as a fan, right? Mm-hmm. And I did not see that with this White Sox team, where I saw, you know, another step, but not to the mountaintop, because they're not good enough, especially with the starting pitching.
Yeah, I thought they were better than you did, and ultimately you were right, I was wrong. But again, there were a ton of injuries.
Yeah.
To navigate through those, kudos to the players and the coaches and the personnel department, finding guys that plug and play, whether it was Billy Hamilton or Brian Goodwin or whoever it was,
yeah.
Jake Lamb,
mm-hmm.
Bam, guys are stepping up. You'll be an overwhelming favorite to win the division next year. Now you got to build on it. 312-332-3776. 312-332-3776. Sox fans, what would you do if you ran your favorite team to improve it for next season? Plus, is TLR the right guy to lead the team? That's all coming up next.
Take that.
Cap J Hood.
Follow on Instagram at Cap J Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
The great Jonathan Hood. I'm David Kaplan. 312-332-3776. So the White Sox will now head into the offseason like most teams. There's only a handful left. Yeah. We've got one more game in the DS, which tomorrow night should be a great one. Giants-Dodgers, I think the two best teams in baseball. Mm-hmm. And then Friday night, starting in Houston, it's the Astros and the Red Sox. Do you have a favorite that you'd like to win that series? Would you rather the team that beat you win, or the Red Sox, who have Chris Sale and Kyle Schwarber, two Chicago guys? Are you rooting for anyone in that series as an American League guy?
No. Because the Rays are out of it, I'm going to side with the Dodgers. It's outside the Sox and the Cubs, I think the Dodgers and the Padres are the two teams I watch the most. So I'm going to root for the Dodgers, I guess, in this spot. And American League teams like Red Sox. I just don't have that same feeling, and definitely not the Astros.
I'm rooting for the Giants just because I think it's cool that they may be terrible again next year because they had a bunch of veteran guys like all come to you.
Yeah.
I just think it's cool that they did that.
So. I just, as you well know, it's in our veins, you and I, baseball.
Mm-hmm. It is.
What's JR yelling about?
All right. Hey, JR, we're on the air. He's
anyway,
better than that.
He's ranting about something.
He got a black towel at the game yesterday, and he has not stopped complaining that there was no printing on the towel. I'm sure that's what he's yelling about in the hallways.
So I go to the game. Excuse me, coffee. And I have this towel, and it doesn't have anything about the White Sox on it.
And I can just tell you, if this was Howard Stern, he would not stand for that.
There would be a Sox logo on the towel, and Wendy and Buzz will also have something on their towel. So there's that. Coffee? Let's go! Where's my logo?
Let's go to the phone.
Let's go!
Tom is in Oak Lawn. Hey, Tommy, what's up there, Sparkles?
What's up, guys? So first of all, not right now. Thanks,
okay,
though.
No problem.
First off, I proposed to my wife just on Christmas Eve when we were giving away, exchanging our presents and such. And, her response was, priceless. She was just like, yeah, sure. And then when I pulled out the ring, she was like, oh, you were serious. So it proves you don't have to have a big production or anything to have a memorable proposal. So
in other words, Tom, you proposed at Pappy's in Oak Lawn. Is that where he was? The restaurant?
No, we were at her. Give me a little credit there. We were at her parents' house. So.
Wait, there's all these great restaurants though in Oak Lawn. I mean, how come you didn't do it there? Like the drive-in, at the Pappy's.
Or the White
Horse? Because I was still in college, and after I had bought the ring, I barely had enough money to get presents for anybody else. So
I don't know. Palermo's would have been nice.
Tommy, thanks, man.
How about Flapjacks?
Oh, Flapjacks. That would have been now you're making me rethink my whole proposal now. Come on, Hook.
Have a good day, kid.
Thanks, Tom.
Appreciate you.
We saw
by the way, congrats to Tom. He just did the marathon.
Oh, did he?
Yes, I saw that on Insta or Twitter.
Good for Tom.
Yeah.
He's a P1 to the show. Always good-natured.
Good man. Dave in Crown Point, what's up?
Hey, it's Dave Steve Alford, Haters Club, November 19th. Hey, Cap, I love you like the brother I wish I had, but no shot on that, man. Just not original. Let's put it in perspective. What if you were a grave digger? Would you take your future wife to the cemetery and propose?
Well, that's a horrible analogy, Dave. What do you mean not original?
No, it's not. It's the truth. Come on, Cap. I never disagree with you. Let me disagree with you one time, okay?
You're entitled one time. To your opinion.
That's all I'm asking for. That's his workplace. How about if he's an undertaker? You clear the table up, put a rose on there? Come on, Cap.
We just do it right out of coffin. Hey, thanks, Dave. Have a great day, man.
Bye.
I think Dave might be right. You could bring her to the cemetery, be like, honey, would you be my wife until death do us part?
You're macabre. What do you mean, do it on the coffin? What does that mean? That's nasty, man.
I didn't mean do it on the
coffin. Oh, my God. There's a term for that.
Except necrophilia.
Yes. That's nasty.
If the Bears beat the Packers on Sunday,
I don't feel anything.
The nation think of our beer.
Oh,
of our Bears.
This is not good.
That's coming up in 2 minutes.
Just let me know if you
Follow
like it.
ESPN 1000 Chicago on Twitch.
Let me know.
Watch us live and join the chat. Sponsored by Xfinity. Back in 2 minutes.
I killed her.
Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and J-Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie.
Bah, 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 bah.
And listen to Cap and J-Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
All right, we get to talk to one of our favorites. I watched him play in the Rose Bowl, and now here I am talking with my partner and with the great Keyshawn Johnson here on ESPN 1000. With Hoodie, I'm Cap. Key, good morning. We got a lot
what's
to get
happening?
To. How are you?
You know what's happening. You know what's happening.
Driving in this beautiful, clear skies. 60 degrees, kind of warm up a little bit as time goes by, then probably 72 degrees, and that's about all.
So let's talk Bears with you first. We'll get into some other stuff with you. If the Bears go out and win this football game this weekend, and look, they beat Tampa Bay here last year. They've got a better quarterback situation. Their defense is playing better. They're getting pressure from both Mack and Quinn, who have combined for 9.5 sacks. What will the national narrative be about the Bears if all of a sudden they're atop the division at 4-2?
I would probably think that it would be a sneaky team with a young, ascending quarterback that's giving them energy to energize them to you know, put 3.5 wins together since he took over the team. That's what I think it would be. Matt Nagy's figured it out. And I know you cringed just now when I said that, but that's the reality of it.
Key, where do you place Aaron Rodgers, Green Bay quarterback, amongst the best that you've seen at quarterback?
I mean, it's all, you know, all the best. I mean, I played against Marino, feel like I'm 1,000 years old, but he was at the end when I was at the beginning. Mm-hmm. Same thing with John Elway, Steve Young, you know, all those dudes are all Hall of Famers. Jim Kelly, like literally, can you believe I played against those dudes?
It is. Actually, it's only because you don't look that old. That's the reason why that's kind of weird.
And I played with them in Pro Bowls. But, you know, you start talking about all those quarterbacks. Like, I don't get caught up in – I've never been a get caught up in he's better than his guy. It's like, wait a minute, man, they all in the damn Hall of Fame. What's the – I don't understand. They all in the Hall of Fame. They all won championships except, you know, maybe Kelly only went to 4, didn't win, and Marino went to the 1 and didn't win. But that's not all on them. Mm-hmm. But Aaron Rodgers is one of the great quarterbacks of all time.
That's because you keep your young in. You don't look that old that you played against those guys. It must be cocoa butter, right? That just keeps it going. Is that what works for you?
No, because cocoa butter going to darken me.
Right.
I can't use cocoa butter on my face. I just soap in water, basically. And my mom and, you know, just family, man. You know, yeah. As I was on with Chris Long on his podcast yesterday, we were having some fun. And I told him, you know, we were kind of tongue-in-cheeky because that's my guy. Mm-hmm. And I told him I have full lips, and I have sexy lips, and I don't need any injections or anything. And my lips are beautiful, and a lot of people in the world want lips like these. That's why they go to doctors.
That's true.
That's true.
And I'm very happy, and I'm very happy and proud, and I love my full lips.
Yes.
If you know where I'm going.
I do.
Yeah, that
do.
Leads us to so – You played, I heard you with Booger yesterday. It was some great stuff. I thought you guys were exceptionally honest. When you look back on your time with John Gruden, when you're playing with Booger, do you feel like, look, I met the man and I did not like my interaction with him, but I didn't play for him. Do you feel like, yeah, he was a good football coach, I just didn't respect the person that he was, or was he overrated as a coach?
You know, was this Hoodie that asked me this question?
No, it's Cap.
It's Cap.
Okay, Cap. So what I want to do is try to get away from talking about John, but since this is the first time I've been on your show, we won't be doing this beyond today. So yep. I'm going to do that because I don't want to keep talking about something that's really at this point in my life is kind of irrelevant.
Get it.
But because we boys and I like y'all and y'all like me and our shows are good together and all that, you know, I thought at times he was a good play caller. I thought at times he thought he was smarter than everybody. But what he did for us is he helped us win a championship because he brought a little bit of a different energy at a time that we probably needed it because we kind of started to fade away from Dungy a little bit. And the message kind of got stale. And you see that with new coaches, they come in and there's a jolt of energy. You see John Fox leaves and Matt Nagy takes the team to the playoffs because there's a certain jolt that comes with that. And I think we were right there as an egg boiling, ready to crack, and somebody turned the fire off and it got cool and the egg never cracked. But when John came, turned the water back on and it boiled and the egg wind up cracking and becoming well done, we went on and won the championship. Everything aligned perfectly. But you could always tell that there was something about him that wasn't genuine. And a lot of us saw it. I was really the only person that said something about it because I was secure in my financial situation.
and I wasn't worried about what could happen to me. And I was a made man in the National Football League, and I wasn't worried about whether or not I was going to get another job. And so I basically took him on for some of the stuff, you know, that I saw that I didn't like, and he had to remove me because he had now got the power in the championship. We won the Super Bowl, so he had the brain trust and the power of the ownership group. They believed in him because he basically pulled the wool over their eyes. And I saw all of that. So, you know, it was like, we got to get rid of this dude. Because if I don't get rid of him, he's going to expose me to a whole nother level. And then that's going to be not looking good for me. But as long as this dude is around, my work's going to be cut out. But you can see it. Like, Booger can see it. I can see it. There's other people on the team that can see it. Everybody's just not as comfortable in their skin to call out what they see.
So, Key, my only question about this, when I heard your original comments and saw Randy Moss and others had to say about this, my whole thought was, man, if you're a leader of men, you're supposed to be able to lead. And I'm just wondering from the player standpoint what that Raiders locker room is going through right now. You thought your coach was one way, and then this is all revealed. Like, what's going on in that locker room right now? How do they come together after this?
Rich Bisacci, who's the special teams coach, took over as the interim head coach. They're in great hands. Rich Bisacci is a beloved special teams coach throughout the National Football League. And when you deal with special teams coaches, I had him in Tampa, and he's like one of my good friends in the coaching world, is when you are a special teams coach, you don't deal with one unit. You deal with everybody because you got to take guys from the defense, the offense, the secondary, the offensive. You know what I'm saying? You got the special teams. You got punt team, kick team, punt return team, kickoff team, PAT team, field goal block, field goal team. So you got all 53 men that you deal with every single day. And so it's almost like a strength coach where they're communicating with guys every single day. And so I think from a locker room standpoint, Gruden's gone. Everybody knows that he's a bad guy now. Everybody realizes that. And they're like, good, he's gone. Let's move on. And this is a perfect opportunity for Rich to rally the troops and get things done at the level that they need to get them done at.
I'm not going to bring that coach up to you after today anymore, and I appreciate you taking the time to
answer. No, you're not, because if you do, I'm going to hang up on you.
I get it.
Damn.
And absolutely not going to. I want to ask you about what you saw from Justin Fields last week. He only threw for 111 yards, but he got hit early in that game. And I'm sitting with Olin Krutz, and he said, I think he just got hit right in either the kidney or the liver. He doesn't look good. He said, we're going to find out how tough this kid is. And boom, he throws a touchdown pass. He's up there pumping the six shooters. And Olin looked at me, goes, we got a quarterback right there. That's our guy. We now have a tough guy at quarterback. What did you see?
Well, you see the same things in college. You saw the same things in college. Here's what I would tell you and caution you and your Chicago boys. Don't measure him based on statistics. Just don't do it. Measure him based on effectiveness. How effective is he and how infectious is he to the team? Does his personality infect the team's chemistry on a positive note and on a high? See, a lot of times people get caught up in the statistics. When they get rid of a guy, oh, my God, he had 4,000 yards, blah, 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 blah. No. How about the way that they play when he's underneath the center as a team? You know, when they say, well, it's going to be hard to replace that guy. Well, yeah, but it's harder to replace the personality because the personality, you can always place the statistics. You can scheme and you can do all that for 3,000 yards. You can do that. But they feed off of him. They feed off because they know they got a fighting chance with him.
Yep.
They didn't feed off of Andy Dalton. I tried to tell everybody this in Chicago weeks and months ago. He's Matt Nagy. He's going to do it. I'm like, man, don't listen to Matt Nagy. He's going to send you left and he's going right. Coach speak. Oh, I don't know who's the starter's going to be. No, y'all know. That's why every week he came back out, well, Justin Fields is going to be the starter. So he finally said, we're moving on with Justin as a quarterback. Because somewhere along the lines, he got tired of sending that same message. And I saw that he energizes the defense with, even though he plays offense. They feed off of it. They try to go get the football back for him because they genuinely like him.
I'm looking forward to the Chargers in Baltimore. How do you see that matchup coming up?
I think it's going to be high scoring.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a challenge for Baltimore secondary with them trees. I watched them play Cleveland this past weekend, the Chargers out in L.A. And them trees, man, with Williams and Keenan Allen and Cook coming down the middle and Austin Eckler, he's not a tree, though. He's a stump playing in the backfield and being able to catch the ball out of the backfield. And then you got the ultimate tree in Justin Herbert. The offensive line is solid and sound, anchored on the left side. And so when you look at them, you know they're going to put up points. And they got a good defense in Derwin James. I like to get a little more out of Bosa. But, you know, it's whatever it is. Asante Samuel Jr. Brandon Staley's brought a winning attitude to the Chargers. They're going to have a hard time stopping what now, if the season ended today, the MVP and Lamar Jackson. Lamar, I can't believe how many people are like, I don't want that guy. You don't want that? That what we saw Monday night, you don't want that?
Yeah.
That doesn't look appealing to you as a coach or general manager? It amazes me because the same things he's doing or he did on Monday night, he did at Louisville when he came out of school. That's why I had to ask the questions. I think it was Mike Tannenbaum the other day, mm-hmm. former general manager of New York Jets, Miami Dolphins. I asked him, I said, how do y'all not like that? He goes, oh, don't tell. Not me. I said, Mike, you didn't think about that. You know, be honest. You didn't think about that dude when he came. You was probably one of the main ones talking about he should switch positions.
Of course. Of course, because when you're a unicorn, you don't recognize it. They saw him as a wide receiver. They saw the speed and did not see the ability.
How?
Right? Houston.
How? When you got it on – he got it on tape in Louisville.
Right. Right.
What are you looking at?
Yeah.
Old boys network.
You rather go get an old dude that can't scramble from the left tackle to the right tackle without getting hit by somebody. You'd rather have that than that we saw on Monday night.
Yep.
Hey, last thing. Derrick Rose got engaged the other day, and he did it where he had a really gourmet dinner set up on the court at Madison Square Garden. The arena's lit up. Nobody else in there. And he gives her a beautiful ring. He had wine and champagne and this gourmet meal.
Well, he better not have given her a ring out the popcorn box.
Yeah, exactly. But how did you get engaged? And did you think what he did was cool?
Yeah, I mean, that's cool. I just was like, come on, let's get married. Here you go.
It's like Larry Bird. It's what Larry Bird did.
Man, we're going to get married. Here you go. It wasn't no special. It was like, yeah. I think, no, you know what I actually did is I rung the doorbell and I set the ring on the front doorstep.
Oh.
And rung the doorbell and hit.
And she came out and looked and went.
Looked, opened it up. Like,
Oh.
And I'm like, damn, all that money I spent on that wedding, I sure like to have that back. All 20 seconds of that. I do, we do, we're going to be good, I love you, kissy, kissy. I'm like, man, always try to say, man, what if we had that money back? We can go buy us a house in Hawaii.
Exactly.
That's it. Hey, Key, we appreciate you addressing what you did, and we thank you for your time. We'll talk to you next Wednesday.
All right, bud.
You're the best. See ya.
You remember, it's her wedding, not yours. You're just showing up there.
Correct. I let my wife and her late mother, I said, just tell me what time to be there. I played golf the morning of my wedding with my kids. We went out on the golf course. We were getting married at 11 a.m. We were on the golf course at 8. Played 9 holes, all of us. Came back, put my tux on, walked up. She was already ready. Let's go.
That's amazing.
That's it.
Wow.
It's perfect. Honey, you want chocolate cake? Sure. Well, what about this other cake here, this, you know, the white cake with the red frosting, with the this, with the... Hun, get whatever cake you want. Have whatever... I don't care.
There's always an argument, though, when they feel like you're not involved.
My wife knows. And so she just took... Oh, done. Just tell me what time to be there.
What kind of silverware? What kind of place settings? And all this other stuff,
I don't care.
Yeah.
I will do anything to make you happy. That stuff... No, I'm not involved.
Well, not anything.
Pretty much.
Bets. You're betting. WNBA. She's not happy with that.
The music's playing. You have to walk down there. Hang on a minute. I'm trying to live bet this game. He thinks paying for all this. Is Tony La Russa the right man to lead the White Sox in 2022? We would love your thoughts. 312-332-3776. Be right back.